Let's Watch. I'm Alicia.
I'm Sarah.
And this is a podcast where we discuss gay lady movies. And today we're talking about Better Than Chocolate.
Yay!
Woo!
Because women are better than chocolate.
Women!
Something like that.
Women's!
Women with an X or a Y or whatever you want.
W-I-M-M-I-N-Z.
Women's. Yeah. That's the correct spelling.
This is a 1999 movie.
Canadian
film.
Film, sorry.
Film.
Yes.
Let's be...
In Canada, real, they're classier.
Yeah, let's be real professionals here. Shall we? No.
No. You're in the wrong place.
Yeah, get out. But if you couldn't already tell that this was from the 90s, you know, basically the second you turn it on.
Yeah, it is the most 90s thing I've ever seen. Like, the way that they dress, the, like, color, all the color in it is, like, a very, I don't know what I mean by that.
It's, like, late 90s.
Yeah.
Gay culture, I feel like.
Yes, very much so. And so that means a lot of this is, like, really dated. And there's definitely a lot of biphobia and transphobia
in this film.
Yeah. Although, it's really interesting. There is a trans character in this movie who has a major role, but as far as I know, she was played by a cis man.
I think so, too. Yeah. I didn't actually go into, like, research, but...
Me either. Not about the actor specifically.
Exactly. Yeah. But I assume it's a cis male because, I was looking up one of the songs, and this movie has a soundtrack that you can buy on Amazon.
Oh, yeah. They have good music in it.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah. Great music. Great 90s lesbian music.
Exactly.
And then, like, some drag show, like,
so
campy things.
What Judy, the trans character, sings is on the soundtrack, but
I'm not a fucking drag queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They credit it as, I'm sure, the actor's name. Like the cis male's
it's
name.
Like Peter something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A traditionally male name.
Yeah.
So,
which isn't to say that they're their gender is, but
yeah, we haven't...
we jumped to conclusions here, so
yeah.
that's what we jumped to.
I'm jumping in. Jumping to that conclusion.
Also, I'd be surprised if they hired a trans woman.
Yeah, especially back then.
Yeah.
I'd
be pleasantly surprised,
yeah,
but
I would be
still surprised.
All right, so the director is Anne Wheeler. Do you know her from anything?
No, do you?
Nope.
It's a woman, though. That's assuming gender again based on name. But
dang!
No. Anyway.
Okay.
Sorry.
Starring Karen Dwyer as Maggie. Christina Cox as Kim.
What's her name? Oh, I wrote it down. Anne Marie McDonald as Frances.
That name sounds so familiar.
She's a Canadian author. She's, like, a well-known author.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I looked that up on the Wikipedia page, and I was like, oh, my God, that makes me so happy. Because the very first thing I wrote down while watching this movie was, queer books / bookstores / bookstore owners are my kryptonite.
I love that about this movie.
Yes.
And it's
even
so...
though the bookstore has, like, no books in it, it just has dildos, apparently. Because all the books are held up at the border.
Yeah, they're banned. They're banned books. Yeah, I thought there was... This movie is pretty, like, multifaceted, which I saw it as, like, a teenager, and I kind of... a lot of this kind of went over my head.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just heard that it was a great movie, that you should watch it if you identify as a lesbian or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, as I watched it from, you know, a 2018 lens, there's a lot of it that's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. I could see myself, like, if I had seen this when I was much younger, and, like, it was still the 90s or the early 2000s, I would have been like, this is the greatest movie.
Yeah, but I think I probably did at the time.
Yeah.
Like, I thought... You know, because it's cute.
Yeah, it's cute.
But, like, it makes me think back to, like, that was the culture of the time. Not that it makes it at all acceptable to be biphobic or transphobic,
no.
But it makes you think, like, other things like the L Word that mm-hmm. came out 5 years later, like, yeah. why that was the way it was right. as well, and, like, yeah. how problematic that was. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, it's interesting to see what, I guess, gay culture was like in the 90s and
yeah.
comparing it to today, how different it is.
Yeah. There's a really, speaking of queer books, there's a really great book called Stray City by Chelsea Johnson that also takes place in the 90s. Well, like, half of it takes place in the 90s, about this lesbian who is living in Portland in the 90s. And
which Portland?
Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Good clarification.
Because we were just talking about Maine.
Yeah.
Before we
Because I was just in Maine, which is where I'm from. But anyway, Portland, Oregon. But that's a good book and should totally be read. It's a recent book. I think it came out last year.
Nice. You always have good book recs.
I know. I try to read a lot. Which is why the fact that a lot of this movie took place in a queer bookstore was, like, perfect for me.
Yeah, I love that it's called 10% Books.
Yeah.
What's
that a reference to?
I think
10% of the population is gay?
Yeah, I think okay. that was the statistic
okay.
back then.
I kind of just assumed that that was where the name came from.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think a lot more people than that are queer somehow.
Yeah, I think that's been
like everyone's proven. Kind of queer.
Yeah, that's been like proven at this oh, okay. point that right. it's like based on recent studies. It's okay. like it's no longer like 10%. It's like 1 in 3 maybe.
Yeah.
Are like
well, in my mind, it's
not
like
straight
100%. But that's okay.
In my life, 99.2.
Yeah.
I did that math real fast. No.
Based on my own brain studies.
What I'd like to see in the world.
Yes.
This movie also has something that I would like more of in the world, which is, like, cabaret, like, lesbian cabaret at clubs.
Yeah. So that was cool. This movie opens on a scene where Maggie, our protagonist, who looks like she's 6 years old, which I could not get over the whole time I was watching this. I was like, old are you? You yeah. look like a small child.
She definitely has a baby face, and she's only supposed to be 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which she, maybe she was the actress, too, just because, like, she looked so young. But anyway.
She wasn't. She had to have been 29 because oh. she...
29?
Because she recently died.
Wait a second. She was 29
maybe.
In that movie?
I don't know, because she died about a month ago, and she was 43.
Oh my gosh.
So, no, 23.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
I can't do math.
But still, she looked very young.
She is, yeah. And I think it's, she also has, like, such a round face.
Yeah.
And she comes
out. And, like,
out,
the curls and everything.
Yeah,
she looks like Shirley Temple.
Yeah, she did. And she comes out looking like an angel. Which,
oh,
like,
yeah, that's right. In this, like, drag show, or whatever, like, cabaret kind of drag show. But I liked that they had, so they had Maggie, who was a cis woman and didn't dress up in any kind of gender play thing. She just was, like, an angel in an angel costume, and mm-hmm. she was lip-syncing. And then they had Judy, who is not a drag queen. She's a trans woman. She was also performing. And then they had a woman who was wearing drag.
Like, yeah, a drag
men's
king.
Drag. Yeah, drag king. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though I was kind of distracted by their hair, which was, like, a plastic thing, I think, that they had on their head.
Which, again, is, like, this weirdly 90s.
Yeah. Very fitting for the
90s. I keep thinking back to, like, Spice World.
Oh, my God.
And, like, all the weird shit that they would have in that movie. Like, they didn't have any, like, plastic wigs or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But, oh, God, it reminds me of, Delight. That song Grooves in the Heart.
Oh.
And, like, they have those wigs where, like,
oh, yeah.
It's not, like, plastic, but it looks, like,
yeah.
super shiny and, like,
mm-hmm.
oh, yeah. It's just, this movie's so fucking 90s. It hurts. Hurts so good.
Yeah, it hurts so good. It hits right in the nostalgia / cringe area.
Yes.
Of my heart.
Yeah. Definitely a cringe area for, you know, looking at it again at a 2018 lens.
Yeah.
Ugh. Also, I don't know if you watched Nikki and Nora.
No.
So that is which has Christina Cox in it, the
okay.
girl who plays Kim.
I really liked her.
Yeah.
She was my favorite.
She's
movie.
Awesome. That is a lesbian cop drama where, like, the couple solves the crimes.
Is it a movie or a TV
show? TV show.
Really?
I'm pretty sure Canadian, too.
Oh, well.
Duh.
Obviously, I should have known. Canada does gay so much better.
Like, lesbian detectives who are in lesbians together.
In lesbians.
Together. Solving crimes.
Wait,
together.
When was this show made?
I can look it up, but I'm pretty sure the early 2000s.
Okay, so, really recently.
No. Okay. And it didn't last very long.
Did it last more than one season?
I think so.
Wow.
Let's take
Canada,
a look-see.
Man. I mean, still a colonialist nation, but they've got all that gay stuff that I just
that
really appreciate.
Gay shit. 2004.
Although, oh, okay. Although, one thing I noticed in this movie was how extremely white it is.
Though I was surprised, like racial diversity.
Right.
But
yeah.
I was surprised that they even had a trans character.
I was too, in that she. Like, there were a lot of problematic things around the way her character was written, but she did have a prominent role, and in some ways, she was pretty nuanced, which I was like, oh, this seems like it would be really rare for the time.
Mm-hmm.
And even for now, to have, like, a nuanced trans character who's, like, a complex person and, like, is treated with semi-respect.
Yeah. That's what...
By the writers, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was not entirely true for Judy, but...
Yeah. This movie has a ton of, hate crimes in it.
Yeah.
That was
one of the things that I, like, in the end, I was just like, hate crimes everywhere.
Yeah. Like...
in this movie.
When we're first introduced to Maggie, and she comes out of the club, and she's immediately harassed by, like, three or four guys on the street, and they call
her. I think
it's
the same guys who show up in the end, too.
Yeah.
They look like neo-Nazis.
Yeah. And actually, that's... do you watch with subtitles?
No.
Okay. So, in the subtitles, I always have to watch with subtitles just so I don't miss anything. It says skinheads.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So
they
right.
are... Yep. So, they are definitely skinheads.
Yeah.
Wow. So similar.
And they... Yeah, Maggie's just walking in this alley alone.
Just trying to go
in
home.
In her angel costume. And they, I guess, maybe because of where she came out of or something, but they, like, call her a dyke and stuff. And...
Yeah, because she comes out of the cat's ass.
Oh, yeah, the cat's ass, the other social circle of the movie.
Yeah, so the cat's ass is the lesbian bar, or the gay bar, I don't know. I see some guys in there, too.
Yeah. Queer bar.
But yeah, they say... like, baby angel dyke.
Yeah.
And, you know, say a lot of, like, offensive and aggressive words.
Like, think of the things you might think some dude would say to a lesbian, and that's what they say.
That's what they say.
But then Kim comes.
Like that.
Yeah, there is.
But Kim comes and saves the day,
in her art van.
Man.
Yeah.
She just, it almost looks like a food truck.
It does.
She just
like her van. It's really cool.
It's really cool. So she just kind of, I don't really know, like, where she's going. I don't think the audience really knows, but she
there's a lot of holes in this movie.
Yeah. She just happens to be driving up at that time and is like, are you okay? And Maggie's like, yep. And then
the guys run off or something.
Yeah, basically.
But Kim just has, like, this butch swagger, and she's kind of like, you okay? You sure? She's got, like, her hands in her pockets. And,
she's got a leather jacket.
And Maggie's,
on.
Like, super smitten right away, you can tell.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I'm good. And she goes, okay. And then she gets back in her van and, like, goes away.
So we find out a little bit more about Maggie, that she's withdrawn from school.
Yeah.
She's also living in 10% books.
Yeah, on a couch.
which is similar to, like, Luce in Imagine Me and You. Except she had her own, like, apartment.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, she, like, lives in the business.
Yeah.
And her mom calls her.
Yep. Her mom, who is an interesting character. She's like, you think at first, or at least I thought, that... the mom was, like, gonna try and, like, accuse her of being gay or something. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, just accuse her of being, like, living a terrible life or something.
I think they kind of, like, dance around that the whole movie.
Yeah, they do. But instead, she calls for a much more self-centered reason, which is like, oh, I'm getting a divorce from your stepfather. Me and your brother need to move in with you.
Yeah.
So get ready for us to come live with you.
It's all, like, super, and I don't want to sound offensive towards, like, people with mental illness, but it sounds very manic.
Yeah.
Like, she calls to say the school mailed her to tell them that she dropped out of school.
Or they sent a letter that was addressed to Maggie, but she opened it like that.
And then she figured it out. Is that true? Well, it's so good that actually that you have a really big apartment because...
Maggie lied about, by the way. Yeah. She doesn't have a big apartment, but then she ends up subletting one from probably my favorite character in the movie, besides Kim. I think I like this character even more than Kim. This woman who is, like, a sex ed teacher.
Yeah.
And she lives
in this, like... A traveling sex ed teacher. Yeah.
And she's got some really fun toys.
Mm-hmm. Like a queer sex educator, I would say.
Yeah. And she's, like... She lives in this really big, like, loft kind of warehouse apartment thing that's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And when Maggie goes over there to talk about, like, subletting it from her... She's, like, washing this vagina, this, like, plastic vagina that she uses.
Yeah.
It's really funny. It's like, oh, I haven't seen that used as a sex ed tool before. Yeah. Like, when I took sex ed, it was like, here's how to put a condom on a penis, because that's the only thing you need to know.
I didn't even get that far. Yeah, I don't even think I got that far. We learned about STDs, STIs.
Yeah, we learned about that too. But... And birth. We had to watch a birth video. That was pretty traumatic.
Too. I did. It's
disgusting.
I did watch that one too.
It's not disgusting. It's just a little bit jarring for like a 12-year-old, I feel like.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't get it until I was like in high school.
Oh.
But I went to Catholic school.
Yeah. Anyway, birth is beautiful. Vaginas are beautiful. Sorry. I didn't mean that. I take it back.
It is jarring for a kid.
It is jarring, though, because you don't...
Especially, like, at 12, when you're just, like, getting used to, like, what your body can do. Yeah. And then to see... I don't want to say motherhood is the maximum potential of a woman or whatever.
Oh, but, no, like, definitely not.
When you see your body, like...
It is kind of an amazing thing that the body can do, but it's, like,
snap
really...
back, like, nothing.
Well, I don't know about that. Not like nothing.
Like nothing.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, no.
We are childless. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah. I mean
child-free. Sorry. I keep saying childless, but I don't like that word.
Why?
Because it's like negative. Childless.
That's true. As opposed to child-free. Yeah, that you're less than.
Because it's a choice. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For me, it's a choice.
Yeah, it's a choice for now. Maybe forever. Who knows? Still figuring it out.
Definitely. We're all just trying to figure out life.
Definitely don't want one now. Or anytime soon. Anyway. So many crazy things in this movie. I don't even know where to start. We're introduced to the only bisexual character in this film.
What's her name again? Carla?
I think it's Carla. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and someone says something biphobic about her immediately, about how she, like, wants... She's like...
You're not bisexual, you're omnisexual, you're like a tornado. Yes. Like, sweeping up
everything in your path.
Yeah.
But she isn't offended by that, she's just kind of like, I love everything.
That's a huge part of this movie that I don't like.
Yeah, same.
And it doesn't just happen with her, it happens with other people, too. Where they're kind of like, ha ha ha, like laughing off the fucking homophobia, biphobia, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the way she's written, she is the bi stereotype.
Yeah.
So, like,
totally.
The writer's just like, obviously, we're super biphobic.
Yeah, she's like, immediately hits on Maggie and she's like, oh, why didn't you tell me you needed a place to stay?
Yeah.
I have a room. And then she immediately starts talking about all of her sex toys.
Yeah.
So it's not even just like, she's being a creep, but she's being overtly like, I want to fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like,
and then she ends up fucking Maggie's brother, which also is very problematic because he's supposedly only 17.
He's only 17.
Yep. Even though he looks like he's 30, but whatever. Yeah. Maggie looks like she's 6, and he looks like he's 30. Also a very 90s thing, I feel like.
Yeah, and there, alright, so, yeah, there's so many parts of that. No, because at one point Kim is like, Maggie said, I don't even know why he's in here, meaning, like, the club, the cat's ass. He's not even her brother. Yeah. And she goes, he's not even of consenting age. Mm-hmm. And Kim goes, he looks like he's consenting to me.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's like, okay, that's not the same thing.
That's not the same thing. There was another time where Maggie and Kim are in a coffee shop, mm-hmm. and that fucking guy next door who owns the coffee shop. He's, like, so problematic.
Oh, my God, I know.
And he's, like,
they almost kiss, and
don't
he's,
kiss.
Like...
Don't kiss. There's families that come in here.
Yeah, and then Maggie says, I saw you kissing a girl on the coffee bar the other day. And he said, yeah, but I'm a man, and she's a woman, so it's normal.
Yeah.
But they didn't even get mad. They just were like, ha, 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 and then they just left.
And then they were like,
dude, oh, my God.
Yeah, so they go... Can we hold hands? Is that okay? And it's like, why the fuck are you asking for permission? Like, I know, but it also goes to show you how far we've come. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, Canadian law. But, like, the fact that businesses still to this day can, or they're not supposed to, but they do discriminate against people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we see all those, like, you know, bakery people.
Oh, my God.
Bakers? Not bakery people. Who don't want to make, like, gay wedding cakes and all that shit. And it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was, like, one of the biggest things I did not like about this movie, because it was very problematic and just, like, enhanced the message that it's okay for people to say this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's just a joke.
Yeah.
It's not fucking funny.
No, it's not funny.
Nope. They get together really, really fast.
Yep, another stereotype. Just, they, like, literally U-Haul because, so Kim is an artist, a traveling artist, who drives around in her art van that she lives in and draws portraits of people, for money. And what's his name? Tony gets his portrait drawn, but then doesn't pay her and is like, you can have coffee free for a month.
Douchebag.
She's like, I don't stay anywhere for a month. But then Maggie comes by and Kim's like, oh, I'll draw you for free. And
then, yeah.
And then they just, like, then they get the coffee and then they go into Kim's van.
I thought it was super interesting that, like, I put hard eyes when Kim's drawing Maggie, because it is such, like, a little, it's such a cute scene.
It is cute. In a very 90s way.
Yeah. Ani DiFranco is playing.
Yes! Oh my God. And, okay, that was the other thing with the soundtrack to this movie. Like, Ani DiFranco, Sarah McLachlan, and, like, Lilith Fair and all that stuff.
Yeah.
When definitely. I was in middle school, I used to be obsessed with all those artists. And I was not out at all. I wasn't
That's so funny.
To myself. And I was like, there's just so many things like that that I look back and I'm like, how much more obvious could it be?
That reminds me of another movie that we're going to talk about, which is I Can't Think Straight.
Oh.
Very similar scene in that movie. Oh, because you haven't seen it?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, whoops!
No, it's okay. I mean, I'm about to see it.
Yeah, so good.
But Ani DiFranco, man, she's the best.
So for all you...
Well, I think she said some problematic things, but anyway...
For all you baby gays who are listening and don't know who the fuck Ani DiFranco is, basically...
Know your history.
Basically, if you were gay in the 90s...
You were into Ani DiFranco.
Yeah, or if you listened to Ani DiFranco, you found out you were gay later.
Yep.
Yeah. Ani DiFranco, Tori Amos.
Yes. Tori Amos was in this, too.
Sarah McLachlan.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
Fiona Apple.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think she's in this one. But
no, but yeah,
Fiona
that
Apple's
was another,
another
one.
One.
I feel like Tracy Chapman.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's queer, right?
Fairly
pretty
certain.
Sure. She's cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So,
oh, yeah, and Indigo Girls, obviously.
I love the Indigo Girls so much. I've seen them in concert like 5 times.
Really?
Aww. Yeah. I really do.
Brandi Carlile. We could go on and on.
Yep. Who else? Oh, there's another folk band, Coyote Grace, but they're not as popular.
But that reminds me of the movie trends. Coyote Ugly.
Yeah.
Which was another movie I liked because of all the pretty ladies that were dancing around all the time.
Yeah.
Even though I try not to objectify people, but at the time I was very fascinated. Anyway.
Hot girls.
We got off track.
But speaking of, I don't know, ballsy things. Ballsy things. Like dancing on bars. Kim says that she asked around about Maggie.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was super ballsy because she, like, pretends to almost, like, read her portrait and say,
oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, your mom's really into higher education. and Maggie's like, wow, that's uncanny.
And she's like, no, I asked around.
And then they have, like, the longest foreplay scene of, like, anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, there's a lot of teasing before they even, like, kiss or before they
because they're in the van, they're talking a lot, they're being super lesbian. Meanwhile,
they're just
outside,
holding each other at some point.
Yeah. Meanwhile, outside, a cop on a bicycle comes up and gives the van a parking ticket. They don't notice. Bikes away. Then, what else happens?
A tow truck comes. Which would never happen that fast.
Maybe they were in there for a really long time. You don't know.
I don't know.
Seemed like a long time. Anyway, they get towed away. While they're...
About to have sex. Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could argue that, like, where's the line between foreplay and sex? I don't know. But they were just doing basically a lot of cuddling.
Yeah, at one point they're just standing and holding each other.
Yeah, like, and, just and really hugging, like, just hugging.
But, like, very, very intimate.
Yeah. The music was hilarious.
It was super fucking gay, y'all.
Just, like, the way it was, like, cut in with the cop giving the parking ticket, and then they're inside just, like, staring into each other's eyes.
Yes.
And then the tow truck comes.
And it's all, like, kind of, like, muted lights.
Yeah.
It's all romantic in the van.
At first, I was convinced that they were not going to be noticed, that they were not going to notice that they were being towed away, but then they did. I was like, this would never happen, but... None of this would ever happen. So.
It is a little camp. This movie is a little campy.
Oh, yeah.
So finally, they go back to Maggie's sublet apartment.
And the mom and brother are slated to show up the next day, so they think they have this whole
time
day.
To book.
They leave Kim's art van. How does she even get it back in the end? Because they can't pay the fee.
She sells all of her shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, they walk a long way back to Maggie's, and then they have this scene.
Yeah, like an erotic painting.
Yeah, it's unlike any, I guess, sex scene. I guess it's not a sex scene.
No, but I would say it's foreplay.
Yeah.
For sure. It's interesting
it's
to
unlike
see...
any scene I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. It's interesting that, like, the first time you would see someone naked that mm-hmm. you are going to be intimate with, it's mm-hmm. not when you're having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. That's different. And mm-hmm. I feel like in movies and in life, I don't know. Like, I mean, they are going to have sex with each other eventually, but mm-hmm. it's like they get naked and...
Already I fucked each other like 1,000 times.
They got it in. But yeah, they paint each other, and Kim says that she used to paint at, like, you know, music festivals and stuff like that. And they do these, like, erotic paintings or whatever. But they have a really,
They put paint on each other's bodies, to clarify. They're not painting pictures of each other.
Yeah, sorry.
They're, like, putting... And it looks like chocolate, even.
Yeah. But I don't think it's like, edible paint or anything like that.
No, because they don't seem to be eating it.
No, thank God. I'm pretty sure that's, like, straight-up acrylic paint that probably shouldn't be on your body.
Well, yeah.
It looks cute.
There's a lot with paint in this movie. Anyway.
There is?
Well, later with Judy and what's-her-face.
Damn!
Mom.
You're right. That's a
what's
good scene.
What's the mom's name again?
Lila.
Lila, that's right.
Yeah, so they have this, like, painting scene, and then they're in the shower.
Yeah, the shower scene's kind of sexy.
It is cute. They're like, rinsing off all their paint, and they're just, like, making out, and then Maggie's mom shows up.
Yeah.
Meg's mom and brother.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, the brother also is super voyeuristic and, like, he catches them having sex one time, but, like, he just kind of sneaks up because he hears them,
so,
and then he watches them? Sort of.
But so, like, once he notices it's his sister, he backs off, but also...
But he, like, has this creepy smile on his face. Yeah, who else would it be?
If you heard female sex noises... And
you know the only people in the apartment are your sister and her girlfriend.
And your mother.
Why would you want to look for any of that?
Exactly. Why would you want to go in? Why would you want to look? So it's just kind of, like, super gross.
Yeah.
Because, like, if I heard any resemblance of sex and I was
from my family,
yeah, you'd be like, staying in my room. Yeah. I'm not leaving.
I'm putting earplugs in. I'm putting my head under a pillow.
Yep.
I'm just going to pretend that something else is happening.
No. Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he thought it was so funny or something. I don't know. He was just like...
Yeah.
He was in the middle of bench pressing a bunch of books about lesbians.
I know. It's like the part of this... That makes it so funny is, like, how oblivious he and his mother are to it all.
Yeah.
He's
not that oblivious.
No, he's not as oblivious. She's more oblivious. She is.
Willfully, like, so.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he notices all, like, the dildos and the plants or whatever that the person who owns the apartment has. And then Maggie's trying to, like, get him to not draw attention to them.
I think it's funny because... There is a scene where she's, like, trying to remove all the sex stuff, but her mom and her brother are there and they can clearly see it all, but they don't acknowledge it. And so that's where I feel like the willfully ignorant piece comes in.
Her mom is super willfully ignorant.
Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't want there to be more problems, quote-unquote, than what she considers to be a problem, than what she already has to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like...
She's really self-centered.
But she knows it. She knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
She does from the beginning, I feel like. But she doesn't want to admit it.
Yeah. Oh, another thing that I read about the 10% books thing was that it's based on a real bookstore in Vancouver, which I don't think it's still open, but it was called Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium.
Oh.
And that whole thing with Frances was... where the books got held up at the border, which is kind of an ongoing conflict through this movie, like a B plot or something, or a C plot even, where Frances is really upset because Canadian Customs won't let these books into the country, and she's ordered them or whatever, and she needs them to stock her pretty empty shelves.
Yeah.
And that was based on a real thing where that bookstore had problems with Canadian Customs getting the books...
That's so interesting because Frances at one point says, like, the Supreme Court has ruled that these books are not obscene, they're not pornographic.
Yeah.
So, what's the holdup? So there's still, like, that weird stigma and presence of homophobia in...
Yeah.
At least at the border.
Yeah. And they do go to the border and, like, get in an argument with the border agent guy.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Maggie decides, because Maggie also likes to make art.
Yeah.
Kim's, like, I guess more of an obvious artist, but Maggie makes a bunch of art, too.
Yeah, she does more, like, sculpture.
Yeah, and so she does this thing where she takes all the books and, like, puts them in a trash bin and fills it up with water and freezes it, and then... puts that block of ice with the books in it in the window of 10% books.
Yeah, and equates it to the Ice Age killing the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So.
But then, of course, it melts and makes a huge mess everywhere, and then the books are ruined, so.
Yeah, it's so funny. Even when, like, she's doing it, Frances is like, and you're ruining the books. And she's like, well, it's just...
She said, it's conceptual.
Yeah, it's conceptual. And I'm just like... I mean, don't get me wrong, I fucking love art, but this is, like, some of those things where I'm like, eye roll.
I know. I was sad because I was like, but those books.
Yeah.
The like, books.
You ever get a book wet?
Oh, yeah.
It's the worst. Mm-hmm.
It, like, curls in on itself.
It just, like, shrivels up into garbage.
Yeah. But the other thing, with, like, all the queer characters, there's some interesting, like, romantic dynamics. So Judy really has a thing for Francis. And that was one thing that I found interesting, too, is that she's a trans woman who's a lesbian.
Yeah.
Which you definitely don't see that represented a lot. I know there are plenty of trans lesbians out there, trans women who are lesbians.
Yeah, but obviously in the media?
Tons. Yeah, in the media, it's like...
This one.
None, yeah. yeah, this one. And she was not exactly treated with...
Great. And I'm just laughing because at the end she's called the dyke and she goes, oh, thank you.
I know, that was so funny.
Which is like, again, one of those things where it's like, don't laugh, but also like, I can't help it.
I know. And I was worried that the reason Francis was kind of like really nervous and kind of rejecting Judy's advances was because she was trans.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that's why.
I think some of that, or like,
also, she's just a really high-strung person who I think would
she's very
have trouble no matter who was approaching her.
Yeah.
She does declare her love for her at the end, and that's a really cute scene. It's when they, like, so make cute. Out. I'm like, yes! This, like, butch cis woman and this femme trans woman, they're together and they love each other.
It is, they're so cute together.
Yeah, they're really cute.
Yeah, and she does kind of, like, combat that stereotype and, like, that, you know, that prejudice in herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she first, like, says that, I've only had 3 girlfriends, like, I don't even know what to do, like, with, I barely know what to do with myself, I don't even know what to do with 2 people, I've never had a threesome, and she's, like, trying to equate that, like, Judy's transness to something like that.
Yeah.
When really Judy's like, it's just me.
Yeah.
And like you it doesn't know matter me. Really what like parts, you know, genitals I have. Mm-hmm. It's like.
But she does put a lot of weight on the surgery, and she says multiple times.
Yeah.
Judy does. She says, when I get the surgery, I'll be a real woman.
Yeah.
And that's really sad.
Yeah. It is really upsetting, and I think that's something, you know, a lot of trans people deal with, and feeling like they're not real, quote-unquote, or authentic, or whatever, until...
Because the patriarchy tells them so, which is not true, don't listen.
Got a penis? And you're a woman? Cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
We love you.
Yeah, we're not gonna judge you. Like, totally.
Yeah.
We're totally here for you.
Yes.
So that's, yeah, it's something where... The character of Judy is really nuanced, but it also shows, you know, those kind of backwards views that we are only now kind of uncovering.
Yeah. And the other thing with her is that she gets a notice from, like, her parents' lawyer or something that they're going to buy her a condo. And she's really excited because she's obviously been rejected by her family, and she thinks that this is kind of like a peace offering and that she's going to be able to rebuild a relationship with them.
They also frame it as, like, after you have your surgery, you're going to need a place to stay and a place to recuperate.
Yeah, yeah. They kind of realize with another letter that they get from the father, I think, that... it's really like a, what does she call it? Like a fuck off present or
basically,
something.
Basically, yeah.
That they don't want to see her anymore, and that they're giving her this condo and they never like want to be involved in her life anymore. And
yeah, essentially.
And that's also really upsetting because it perpetuates this narrative of like, oh, if you're trans or whatever, if you're gay or whatever, you're going to be rejected by your family.
Yeah, and that your family won't accept
and
you.
And all of your life is a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, it just, ugh.
Yeah.
It's really sad. That scene's really sad.
Yeah. I do love, though, the song, I'm Not a Fucking Drag Queen.
Yeah, it's a great song.
I thought that was really interesting because I know that the word transgender obviously existed back then, but I don't even think people were really using it. They were using, like, slur versions of it.
And for a while, I think it was socially acceptable to say, like, transsexual or, like, transvestite. Like,
So I was actually, like, waiting for Judy to say, like, whatever word she was gonna say. Because she's exclaiming that she's not a fucking drag queen. But I wanted to know if she was gonna say, like, transgender, transvestite, transsexual, whatever it may have been. But it was transgender, and I was pleased. It was nice. This movie is, like, not even that much about Kim and Maggie when you really think about it.
No. It is kind of an ensemble thing.
Yeah. You're, like how you were saying the B plot or C plot.
Or D plot, or something.
I didn't think of it that way. Yeah, I didn't think of it that way, but it's so true because it's like this movie has so many problems. It is definitely an ensemble thing and everyone has their own issues. Just to keep on Judy because I love her.
Judy deserves better.
Save Judy at all costs. there is an incident in the bathroom where a cis woman, presumed lesbian,
is really violent towards her. And
super violent.
And that also brings up the whole bathroom thing, which apparently was a thing back then too. I mean, obviously. Of like dividing bathrooms by gender and really harping on the importance of that. So Judy's in the women's bathroom and this cis woman comes in and
she harasses her in the same way that I feel like a cis man does to a woman.
Which is really strange. It's a damaging stereotype for cis lesbians, even though I'm not saying no cis lesbian would ever do that because there are the TERFs out there.
TERFs.
We don't like you, TERFs. But it's also damaging for, like, the trans narrative. I don't know. But it's a really painful scene to watch. So, just trigger warning if you're watching this movie.
Be warned.
It's very violent.
It seems like it's not going to get worse, and then it does. Yeah. So, just be prepared.
And, like, Kim and Maggie come in
and
pull her off.
I kind of forget what happens near the end.
You were bored.
And we actually, we both watched this last night.
Yeah, like late last night. I got off a plane and went home and watched this movie and I was on East Coast time. So I was like, it's 1 a.m.
And I've just had a crazy couple weeks. So I've been like,
We were both like, what's this movie?
Because like, I'm
what are we watching?
And usually I write like really detailed notes and I didn't this time. It was mostly, look at that. 3 pages.
Whoa, so few.
That's my record lease. But basically, like, at some point, Kim leaves because...
Oh, yeah. So Kim is really upset that Maggie won't tell her mom that she's
almost,
queer.
And she almost outs her. She almost outs her, which, like...
Yeah, that scene just, I was like, oh my god, you cannot just out someone else.
Yeah, do not ever do that.
Yeah.
It's not your story to tell.
Yeah.
It's not your... It's not you. It's not anything that you need to be discussing. If someone
like
confines...
you can discuss it with your partner.
Yeah.
But never like bring that to someone else.
Yeah.
And but then like Maggie's mom, Lila, she catches the two of them. Are they kissing or what are they doing? They just look like they're being intimate or something. She like comes in.
They're spooning on the on a futon.
Oh, okay.
But
I was half falling asleep at that part.
But they're in like their bra and underwear.
Oh,
and they're
that's
just
why.
Like spooning.
Yeah.
And they act like they just like caught them like fucking.
And Lila does say like what's going on and Kim's just like waiting for Maggie to be like, oh, I'm gay and we're in love.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kim really wants Maggie to say that they're in love and she wants her to tell I guess everyone, but especially her mom. But Maggie is just like, nothing, we weren't doing anything, and Kim gets really mad, and then she just drives away.
Yeah, and she plans to go to, like, San Francisco or some shit, and, I don't know, the plot stops her, and...
So she has to come back.
So she comes back, and she comes again, and, like, saves the day at the end, and it's cuckoo. basically, this movie
is cuckoo.
This movie is a little cuckoo. And at the very end, there's an explosion, which you do not expect from this movie.
That was interesting. Well, okay, can we back up for a second?
And no.
Because there's one more thing I want to say about Judy.
Judy
and Lila. Become, like, best friends.
Yeah, and I thought...
And Lila doesn't realize that Judy is trans.
No.
Until, like, the mailman comes with something addressed to Jeremy or something.
Yeah, fucking dead names her.
Yeah. And then Judy explains to Lila.
And Lila's face looks like she has been, like, totally...
Like, betrayed.
Yeah. Betrayed. But she doesn't act in a super aggressive manner.
No.
Which I was like, good, like, just listen.
Yeah. Like, and she does listen, so even though her initial reaction is less than ideal.
Yeah.
They still are friends.
Yeah.
And they, like, have this cathartic moment together where they're throwing paint against the wall because they're painting Judy's new condo.
And that's when Judy gets the letter that this is a fuck off.
Right. And I really like what Judy says in that scene too. She's like, cause Lila says, are you okay? And this is after Judy's been like, yeah, you know, like I was born Jeremy or whatever. And Lila's still there with her even pretty soon after, like, and that's pretty cool given that the character is like homophobic and transphobic.
Yeah.
But she says, are you okay? And Judy says, I just have, like, this bubbling up rage. And she says it really calmly.
Yeah.
But then she walks over and picks up a can of paint and just, like, throws it against the wall.
And you totally don't expect it, especially since she's stenciling.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she's doing with the paint. So it's, like, this very, like, delicate, like, painting process, and then she just fucking splatters it on the wall because of rage. And it's so awesome.
It is really awesome. It's like, you get that rage out. You do it. And then they both do it because Lila's also really frustrated because, like, she's just been through a divorce and
her husband had an affair.
And, yeah. So then they bond, and then they get drunk.
I thought that was super funny.
Yeah.
So, like, they're like,
they were funny when they were drunk together.
Let's have a makeover.
Yeah.
And then they get, like, super fucking wasted.
Yeah.
And then,
they
that's
walk
near
down
the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Because they notice that Kim is in the 10% books.
It's Maggie.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Maggie. Maggie's in the little, like, window.
Yeah, display window.
The display window.
She's there naked.
Because she's protesting the customs.
Yeah.
And she has, like, a...
she has a sign hung over
her
that says breasts
and
her
lesbian.
Vagina or her vulva, whatever. lesbian.
Obscene lesbian. Right. Which
what does the one, the lower one say?
I think it says pervert.
Oh yeah, pervert. Yeah.
I want a shirt that says obscene lesbian on it.
Yeah, me too.
That'd be sick.
We can also put gay holes on it and whatever those other things we mentioned that time that we came up with. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Listen, we're funny.
We're really funny. We're going to make a t-shirt that just has 1,000 slogans on it.
It's going to have 1,000 gay holes.
A lot of gay holes.
Yeah, and basically...
The skinheads show up again.
Skinheads show up. They throw a Molotov cocktail in the window.
And Tony is, like, really stupidly trying to fix this gas main.
What a fucking idiot.
Oh my god.
Call
and the gas is just leaking into the store and he's like, oh, this won't fit. Oh, it won't fit. Huh. And then it's just like everything explodes.
Which he would have died, by the way.
I was like, if this were real life, he'd be dead for sure. Because he was right next to it.
And he just comes out like sooty.
Yeah, he's just sooty. Everyone's fine. Nobody dies.
Yeah, nobody dies.
Which is actually pretty remarkable for a movie with so many gay characters.
Yeah.
Queer characters.
Everyone survives. Mm-hmm. And actually, they thrive.
Yeah.
Because at the very end...
In the end, everyone's kissing each other.
Yeah. Everyone's swapping that spit.
Yeah.
Playing that tonsil hockey.
Yeah.
Except for Lila. But Lila gets a drink from Tony, so...
I guess it's implied that they're
some
supposed
liquids.
To be together, but... Yeah, there's liquids involved between them.
But yeah.
That would suck if she ended up with Tony. No
yeah,
one should be with
no.
him.
He's not worth it.
Surprise! We don't like the male characters in this show, in this movie.
At all.
Blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Fuck you, Tony.
Yep. But then everyone kind of thrive, so to speak. They have, like, a almost, like, where are they now?
Yeah, which I thought was hilarious. It's, like, really, where are they now?
It's super cheesy and, yeah, like, campy.
This movie is not a true story.
No. So, like, highly Lila, fictional. Yeah, Lila's singing at the club because she used to be an opera singer, and she, like, we missed that part.
Yeah, but, that's, like, never said, I don't think. Yeah. It's just thrown in the end, like, Lila's, oh, by the way.
Yeah, Lila's an opera singer. But she, like, has kind of suppressed that her whole life. So now she's, like, coming out in her own way by being a singer at the gay bar.
And Maggie and Kim do, like, a duo show.
Traveling act, which doesn't really make any sense to me because they didn't do that before.
No. Nothing in the where they now makes sense.
Except that Judy and...
Oh, Judy and Francis are together.
They get married.
They get married. And I actually looked up when gay marriage was legalized in Canada, and it wasn't until, like, 2005. So, and this was made in 1999, so I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder why they put that there.
Yeah.
And Maggie's brother and Carla join a sex cult.
I forgot about that.
I kind of, like, wow. I, like, don't want to talk about them, but I do because it's just kind of, like, Carla's the butt of, like, all the bisexual jokes, but she's fucking a underage kid.
Yeah.
This is not okay.
And, I mean, the cis dude, who's a kid, is portrayed as, like, every dude
he's kind
bro.
Of, he's kind all of like he a wants dummy. Is
sex.
Yeah,
and he's dumb. He just wants sex, and that's it.
Yeah, he's kind of a dummy.
So, like he's not... happy, because that's what he got. And it's like,
There's, like, there's no dimension to him. He barely talks. Which is like, why am I saying this? Who cares?
But,
like, women get that all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, in general, this movie is funny in the sense that it's super campy.
Yeah.
Which I can appreciate now, but if you were, like, going to watch this as, like, a serious film.
Yeah, don't do that.
No.
I was reading this review on After Ellen. It's an archive of After Ellen, because as we know, After Ellen right now is trash.
Morph. Woof.
And it was written by Danielle Riendo. And it was written in 2007, so it was, like, kind of a retrospective review. And she wrote, the parts are overwritten, and the line between wacky comedy and intense melodrama is straddled too awkwardly. And I was like, that's correct.
That's it. That's the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I texted you and I said, this movie is so Canadian.
Yeah.
That's what I meant by that.
So 90s Canadian, I think.
So 90s said. Canadian, yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like most Canadian movies I watch, like older ones, like from the 90s, they do this a lot. I'm just kind of like, can you pick one? I'm kind of, like, being thrown from side to side.
Yeah.
Like,
it was pretty frenetic and just, like, chaotic.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, oh, we're here now. Okay. Here now. Okay. Oh, now there's, like, a song.
Oh, now we're going to...
Someone's singing something. Okay. Oh, now there's an explosion?
What kind of movie is this? But I guess I can say that I was entertained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sad that I watched it.
No, I think it's...
I don't know if I'd watch it again.
I think it's interesting to talk about, just in terms of, like, the barriers that it probably broke at the time, but also looking at it from a 2018 lens of, like, ooh, that's really problematic now.
Yeah.
And just knowing that there are different ways to talk about certain topics that this movie brings up. But yeah, overall, I did like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a product of its time.
Definitely a product of its time. Mm-hmm. It's entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, cool.
Yeah, super fun.
Yeah. Another one of the classics from the lesbian canon.
It is, yeah. Definitely a older classic. But I remember this was one of the ones, like I said earlier, that it was like, you should watch Personal Best, Better Than Chocolate.
Yeah. Personal Best. Love you. Love me some Lady Runners.
Heart eyes. Yeah. So let us know what you think. If you've watched this movie. If you've ever painted your body. If you've ever just lay. English is stupid. on a tarp for fun.
Yeah, if you ever made boob prints on a piece of canvas.
I can't help but not do that. Just yeah. boob prints everywhere.
Yeah.
I have probably the world's biggest rack. Not really, but they're problematic.
Anyway. Not in the same way as this movie, though.
No, they don't go around offending people, thankfully. They do sometimes smack people, but... Anyway, show us your... No, I'm just kidding.
Show us your tits. Don't do that.
Don't. Please don't.
We're not asking for that,
yeah, just that to was, be clear. That was a straight-up joke. A gay-up joke.
Okay. But you can email us with your thoughts, not your photographs. Mm-hmm. I mean... You can send us a photo of your face if you want.
Or a pet.
Or a pet. Alicia loves dogs.
Sarah does not.
But it's okay. I'll look at the picture anyway.
I like cats, too. And cats turtles. Are cool. And bats. And some bunnies.
So if you have an animal.
Tiny goats.
Goats otters. Are cool. Anyway, you can email us at galpalswatch@gmail.com.
Or you can hit us up on Instagram at galpalswatch.
And... on Twitter at GalPalsWatch.
And Tumblr at GalPalsWatchThePodcast.tumblr.com. I did it right.
You did. Even though I kind of liked it when you kept screwing up.
Yeah, I won't do that every time. I'm not that talented.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
Yeah, so go forth and enjoy this movie better than chocolate.
Go forth and be... Gay!